So I'll talk about this meta-analysis and systematic review I did on mind-body therapies for the treatment of hypertension. Okay. So a little background. I mean, as we all know, hypertension is a huge public health issue. Over 50 million Americans suffer from hypertension. Many of them are untreated, and especially in the African-American community. It's the most common reason for physician visits in the United States and the top attributable risk factor for mortality in the entire world. We also know a number of psychosocial risk factors increase risk of hypertension, including chronic anger, socioeconomic status, hostility, work stress, and others. And so it follows. So my question was, well, if all of these risk factors are associated, how about treatments that specifically target these risk factors, and can they be effective for hypertension? There have been a number of studies in the arena, so I wanted to systematically look at the evidence in the randomized control trial, at least arena, and see what was there. So a little bit of background about complementary and alternative therapies for hypertension. The Eisenberg papers have really shown that a large proportion of the U.S. population has used some form of complementary and alternative therapies. Best estimate was about 42% of the population. And always following that is showing that out-of-pocket expenses have been greater than out-of-pocket expenses for all conventional therapies. NCAM defines mind-body practices as one of the five major branches of alternative medicine, or CAM, in general. And their definition is, as I quote, behavioral techniques that are employed to augment the mind's capacity to affect bodily function and symptoms, utilizing varied modalities such as meditation, prayer, mental healing, and therapies that use creative outlets such as art, music, or dance. And so that definition, though very comprehensive, is not very useful in terms of doing a systematic review because there's a lot of things out there. So I chose the most prevalent modalities out of those, at least in the United States population. And out of those, I found them to be meditation, yoga, and guided imagery. Right? So 30 million people have used relaxation techniques, including meditation, yoga, and 10 million users of yoga in 2002. And many of them found them very helpful, according to self-report. So my objectives for this review were to assess the efficacy of the most prevalent mind-body therapies versus placebo or active control in the treatment of hypertension. And the outcome measures of interest are both systolic and diastolic blood pressure taken pre- and post-intervention period. So I left it quite broad. So as I said, the most prevalent mind-body therapies I found in use were yoga, meditation, guided imagery. And even according to the definitions that you can read here, that there is a lot of overlap between all three. So I use a self-defined definition. So whatever the researchers use in their papers, if they called their therapy yoga, if they called it meditation, then some of the yoga papers called it meditation, for example. And the types of papers I looked at were randomized controlled trials or quasi-randomized trials comparing a mind-body therapy either alone or in combination with conventional treatment, i.e. pharmacotherapy, alone or to a waiting list control. And the subject population would be people with hypertension, so adult men and women, and non-pregnant women. Like I mentioned, outcome measure would be systolic and diastolic blood pressure, and look at a number of databases with the keywords below: hypertension, blood pressure, mind-body, meditation, yoga, imagery, and guided imagery, only in the English language. And there's many other studies in other languages, and I just chose to limit myself there. In terms of assessing quality, these were the criteria used. I mean, these are standard Cochrane criterion, and most of them are applicable to the mind-body studies, except where outcomes assessor-blinded. I mean, because the outcome here is blood pressure, and generally can't be assessor-blinded unless you're using automated machines and things. But for the most part, that's pretty difficult to do. And I qualified the study as high quality if they met all the criteria, moderate if they didn't meet one, and low if they didn't meet two of them. I used RevMan version 4.2.8 to analyze the data and I-squared statistics to test for heterogeneity in a random effects model. Okay, so in terms of what I found 12 studies that basically fulfilled the criteria: 2 in guided imagery, 6 in meditation, and 4 in yoga. And as you can see, the interventions really varied. I mean, they went from 4 weeks all the way up to 9 months. Some were twice a week, some were twice a day, very across the board, except for meditation, because many of them happen to be researchers all affiliated with. Go ahead. In the left-hand column?
Sorry, my left. Under pi, under Q, mm-hmm. And it says mod ally.
Okay, so the A and B refer to the quality.
Okay.
So A is high quality, B is medium quality. Or low quality. So these vary quite a bit, but meditation, we're quite similar. So then I analyzed them as a whole, and found that blood pressure reduced by 11.5 points in terms of systolic blood pressure for mind-body therapies as a whole, and diastolic by 6.83 points. And both were significant at the alpha level of 0.05 with high heterogeneity, and that was just to be expected. And then I separated them and looked at the different different modalities. So then meditation by itself had a lesser effect. An average of 5.7 points systolic and 1.66, which was not significant. So the systolic was significant and the diastolic reduction was not significant. But all had a positive trend. So that was meditation. But as you can see, going back to meditation, that the heterogeneity was much less in these. I mean, the protocols were similar, the types of subjects they look at were similar, and in fact, the researchers were all tended to be affiliated with the Maharishi University. So that may have added some bias there as well. And then the yoga studies actually had the greatest magnitude of blood pressure reduction, an average of 19 points systolically, which is a huge change, and an average of 13 points diastolically. Both were significant at the 0.05 level. Yeah. I mean, in these papers, most of them, they were unmedicated, but unmedicated. No medications. Though in a few of them, they were on medications as well. So I didn't make a distinction between people on drugs or not on drugs. Yeah. For this particular review, anything that's self-defined is yoga. So I mean, they use many different styles. Some were done in India, some were done in the United States. So it really, really varied. So anything the researcher self-defined is yoga. Hmm?
So in their paper, they all mentioned like how much time you spend on meditation, but if it was yoga, or they just didn't mention
it. Well, going back here, you can see how much time they spent on in the intervention, so at least in the yoga, as you're asking, sometimes 3 times per week, usually 60 minutes per session. The last paper had 30-minute sessions, so it varied. And nothing.
Which part of it differentiated kids out, and which part of it is meditation playing the role, which part of it is just the yoga, the movement part?
Oh, certainly. I mean, that's a great question to ask. But with the low volume of studies, when I started teasing out things like that, there's only one or two papers that fulfilled those criteria, so then I couldn't get any good data. So the most practical thing to do was just to look at them either as a whole, as most prevalent mind-body therapies, and then as well as yoga versus hypertension versus guided imagery. And even then, the data was a little difficult to interpret. So we went over yoga, we went over meditation, so and then I couldn't even do anything for guided imagery because they didn't provide any standard deviation, so I couldn't calculate any effect sizes there. So then I looked at high quality studies only as opposed to lower quality studies, and we still see a positive effect in systolic blood pressure reduction of 8.28 points, which was significant, though the diastolic effect of 4.91 points was not significant in high-quality studies, though the trend was always towards reduction. So in terms of interpretation of this data, in the most efficacious mind-body therapies, i.e. being yoga, in terms of what I found, the absolute reductions in blood pressure are comparable and, in fact, more than standard pharmacotherapy in both effect size and both amount of blood pressure reduced, as well as time frame in terms of how quickly that happened. And I compare that to the ALHAT data, which is probably the best data determining the efficacy of pharmacotherapy for blood pressure reduction. And those reductions found with yoga reduction are associated with strong risk reductions in vascular death rates, as well as overall cardiac risk. I mean, none of these papers looked at long-term risk as well as hard outcomes like the ALHAT study. They were all short a few months, but that level of blood pressure is associated with significant reductions there. As I mentioned, the high-quality studies showed promising data, but not to the extent of all the data pulled together. And most of the studies were generally medium to low quality. And that's just an issue with CAM research in general. Many of these papers were done in the 70s. Some were current, but many were really old. Some of the methodology may have been robust, but just not reported according to our current standards. And some of them probably just weren't done well at all. Meditation was interesting because the heterogeneity was much less than everything else. Most of the papers all came from a group of researchers that tend to promote meditation for their own purpose. So it's hard to tell whether there were other studies done that showed negative results or not. So given statistically weak, though generally positive effects without apparent adverse effects, so that was an important thing. No adverse effects were reported in any of the papers. And so blood pressure reductions compare favorably with what can be achieved using any of the most popular blood pressure medications. And additional research, of course, is needed to assess long-term outcomes, and as well as cardiac outcomes and stroke outcomes and things. All right. So that's all I have to say regarding this. And I have to give some acknowledgement to NCAM, who's funding my fellowship. And if you have any other questions, I'm happy to take them now. Yeah.
In relationship to costs involved, sometimes patients go through no cost hospital based programs, sometimes they pay out of their own pocket
right.
to train and go through a meditation or other.
Correct.
Is there any literature about cost benefit associations or relationships?
I didn't look at that. There are a few people doing cost benefit analysis in the CAM arena, but I didn't look at that specifically for this. Mm-hmm. Right.
But in my study, I find something just didn't work, and then I'm just some of the papers there, everything is significant, and then in your analysis, I don't know many papers in my
Well, here, if you look at all of the papers as a whole, anything to the right would be a positive result, meaning a reduction in blood pressure, and anything to the left would be a negative result. So in terms of systolic blood pressure, we didn't see any that showed a negative effect. In terms of diastolic blood pressure, one paper that was slightly to the left is zero, but the error bar goes across zero, so it would be non-significant there. Not to say there aren't papers. So I looked at what was in the literature, and this is what was published.
Thank you.
Thank you.